We're going to continue over in Galatians. And I've actually got over to the last chapter a few weeks ago. Maybe I'll finish Galatians before I die, because it takes me a while to get through the book sometimes. Romans took us 10 years. I don't think Galatians has taken us that long. But Paul was dealing with the circumstance there in Galatia. The false teachers that came in had added to the gospel of Christ, which is to destroy the gospel of Christ, added human works, human acts, external necessities. Now, Christ atoned for his people. It is finished. It is done. And these folks that were coming in here said, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that if you want to be. No, Christ saved his people. And he draws those that are his to himself. Holy Spirit gives them the faith of Christ, gives them repentance that they might embrace that gospel. And Paul, having established that, as these false teachers were seeking to bring them back into a bondage in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. We're free in Christ. And being free in Christ does not mean we're free to just live however we want to, that we're free to sin, we're free to give over to the lust of the flesh. And Paul felt the necessity to address those saints. In verse 13 of chapter 5, he says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then Paul warned against all those sins that are abroad in the world, the flesh that draws away. And he also spoke of the fruit that the Spirit gives, the blessings that he gives to the children of God that he cultivates within us, that comes forth. And those things are brought forth that we might minister to one another. As Paul said, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And in chapter 6, Paul speaks of this love by which we are to serve one another. And again, this love is not some fluttery feeling, some warm fuzzy. Now, biblical love is giving. Biblical love is doing. Jesus Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. And they're always tied together. And as we love the brethren, it's a giving. It may not be something that initially they always appreciate or desire or seek after. Paul told us there in verse 1, if any man be overcome in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We're to seek to restore one another. If one has drifted away, we're to seek to bring them back. And then verse 2, I think we looked at last week, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We seek to bear one another's burden, to meet the needs of another, to bring them along to where they ought to be. And it's by the grace of God that we can do that, as Paul said up in verse 1, ye that are spiritual. God gives us those graces. God gives us the fruit of the Spirit that we can minister one to another. Again, it's nothing in and of ourselves, but it's of God. And then he gets into verse 3, as Paul alluded to already when he says, you know, consider thyself lest thou be tempted in verse 1. In verse 3, he expounds upon that somewhat. And he speaks of beware of pride. If you read the Bible much, you come to the conclusion that God hates pride. And yet, our culture glories in this thing that they now call pride, which is really perversion, which is sickness, which is demonic, But God warns us against pride. Paul warns us against pride. Verse 6, he says, if a man think himself to be something, you know, we used to say that about folks, you know. He thinks he's something. He ain't nothing. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Beware pride. We get elevated pictures of ourselves, elevated impressions of ourselves. If a man thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. He is nothing of himself. He can do nothing of himself. None of us can. We didn't attain life of ourselves. We didn't attain salvation of ourselves. We have nothing to be proud of. And if a man thinks he's something, well, I suppose he might be. He might be something, but we probably shouldn't say what that is in polite company. The Lord, in during his earthly ministry, in Luke 18, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. And folks think they're something. They made something of themselves. There's some folks that actually believe, it's part of their theology, that they have attained in this life sinless perfection. I saw somebody was talking about our depravity. You know, the Lord overcomes that. We're made a new creature. But until we're dead, we still have to deal with that. And this guy likened it to shaving a beard. I could go shave my beard off. You know what? Tomorrow morning, I would already be starting to have stubble coming back. You say, I cleaned myself up. There'd be stubble coming back. Within a couple of weeks, if I let it go, I'd be looking just like this again. Well, if I didn't trim it, I trimmed it up a little bit. But anyway, now that's the way it is. As long as we're living, that old man is still there. We're still contending with him. And the Lord spoke in Luke 18, and he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the most religious people of the day, the respected people of the day, the scholars of the day. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican, the most hated people of the day. Publican was a tax collector. We still don't think too much of them folks, do we? I don't anyway. But the one was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It's interesting the way that the Lord phrased that. He didn't say he prayed thus unto God. He prayed with himself. It's like it didn't get any further than the ceiling. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Tim Pharisee thought he was something. He said, Lord, I'm better than everybody else. You know, you're very fortunate to have me. I'm not like this stinking publican. And you know what? It's possible, as much as humanly as possible anyway, that everything the Pharisee said was true. He wasn't an extortioner. He wasn't unjust. He wasn't an adulterer. He tithed. None of those things are bad. But it is not enough. It doesn't make one righteous. Isaiah, the prophet, said in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing." We are all as an unclean thing. "And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Listen, the very best you can do, the very best of human righteousness. Sometimes we talk of folks, and I understand kind of our human perspective. We say, "But he's a good person." Yeah, but he ain't good enough. His righteousness is a stench in the nostrils of God. "We're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Our good, all of the best we can do humanly, doesn't attain. It's a filthy rag before God. Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, "As it is written," that means as it stands written, as it's established in the Word of God, "as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one." Oh, man thinks he's something, but he's not. David wrote in the Psalm 14 and verse 1, "To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Righteousness. You ask somebody, what's righteousness mean? It's like asking somebody what holy means. And, you know, we use those words, we don't think about it. Righteousness literally means to do the right thing. There's none that do the right thing. There's none that are righteous. David says, there's none that doeth good. We're fallen creatures. Total hereditary depravity. And I was looking at something today. Some theology professor at a school up in Ohio. And she's talking about how the Bible promotes all these sodomite and trans lifestyles and all that things. How it's just all a beautiful spectrum. And it's not in the Bible. And I thought, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? You know what's wrong with the people? Total hereditary depravity. Man is a fallen. And I think more and more in this day and age is what I see is going on. Not only total hereditary depravity, but demonic possession. I'm convinced, as I look at what goes on in the world today, many of these folks that promote themselves as leaders and the things they promote and push, and the insanity that's being pushed out there, it's Satan at work. It's demonic. "There's none that doeth good," David says. Paul, earlier on, as we were studying in Galatians, back in chapter 2 and verse 21, Paul said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain." Listen, if you can make yourself righteous, Christ did not have to die. You just could have made yourself righteous. You just could have done it all on your own. You just could have been something. But you're not. You cannot fulfill God's law on your own. And we only begin to fulfill those things, to walk in those ways, by the grace of the Spirit, by the fruits of the Spirit, by the gifts of the Spirit. It's not on our own. You can't be like this Pharisee and you say, well, I tithe. Yeah, well, you should, but you can't buy your way into heaven. A lot of folks would be happy to do that if they could, and then just live like the devil. It don't work that way. Get back to the Lord's parable after the Pharisees spoke of all these wonderful things he did. And verse 13 we see, and after he said, I'm not like that stinking publican. And verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God showed him what he was. That Pharisee had no idea what he was. He thought he was righteous. He did all these wonderful things. He thought he was something. The publican says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Oh, the Pharisee did all one kind of wonderful works. He abstained from all kind of wickedness, but it wasn't good enough. He didn't see himself for the wretch that he was. He had never trusted in anyone but himself. This poor publican says, God, be merciful to me. God, be merciful to me. A sinner. Again, in verse 14, the Lord said in that parable, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Everyone that lifts himself up on a pedestal is going to be brought down. Will be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Paul here warns us in Galatians, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, like that publican in the Lord's parable, it is God that brings us to see ourselves as we are. Paul, remember? He was a publican. He was proud. He did all the right things that you're supposed to do as a good religious man. In Romans 7, even after the Lord had saved Paul, and God had used Paul to do many wonderful works, God had used him to do it. Paul says in Romans 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That great Christian warrior, Paul, who had been mightily used of God, stands before God and says, Oh, wretched man that I am. I think the closer we get to God, the more we realize how wretched we are. How far we fall short. God gives that to his elect. He brings them to see that. You know, the world doesn't care. I mean, the kind of gospel that's out there today says, come on down the aisle and say a prayer and you'll go to heaven. You don't have to worry about anything else. That's how you can know you're going to heaven. Unless God has revealed to you the wretched man that you are, and you've trusted completely in Christ and nothing else, you've never been born again by the Spirit of God. Paul says, a wretched man, and even after we're saved, we realize we're nothing better. It's only by God's grace. Isaiah, the prophet, Again, mightily used of God. When he had a glimpse of the glory of God and his righteousness and his holiness, Isaiah 6 and verse 5, Isaiah says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." If God has revealed himself to you, if you've seen the King, the Lord of hosts, you realize that you're undone. You realize that you're a man of unclean lips. You cry out, "Woe's me!" Peter, when he met the Lord, when the Lord worked a miracle before them, Luke 5 and verse 8, "Then Simon, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man.'" God brings his people to see their state, to see their need. And by that, he is exalted. And even as we are born again in Christians, we need to guard against thinking of ourselves more than we ought. Throughout scriptures, and we could look at more, many child of God, in fact, every child of God, realizes his own need before God. When Brother Gill comments on this man who thinks of himself more than he is, thinks he's something, Brother Gill says, "He has no grace nor gifts of himself." You don't have any grace of yourself. You have no gifts of yourself, but what he has received and can do nothing. Not think a good thought or perform a good action of himself, and much less of himself procure eternal life and salvation. I'm thankful that I have salvation through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that it doesn't depend on my righteousness. That I'm something. That I've done something. Paul says, if this person that thinks of himself, thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, what does Paul say about him? He deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. You know, generally folks like that, they don't deceive anybody else. It's a facade. They try, it's like he prayed with himself. He thinks himself to be something. Other folks generally see through that. Oh, there's folks that can fool people for a while. And we've seen those. But generally, he doesn't deceive others. For instance, again, a man's own family, a man's own wife. You know, this thing that's come abroad in religion today when people want to call someone Reverend, you know, Reverend Wilson. I don't know who that is. It ain't me. I'm no reverend. The scripture tells us that reverend and holy is his name. That's the only one that word's applied to in scripture. So when someone wants to call me reverend, I said, you better ask my wife about that and see what she tells you. We fool ourselves. We generally don't fool others. The Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin," some folks actually believe that. Some folks actually believe they attain to those sort of things in this life. "If we say we have no sin, We are deceiving ourselves. We can try to deceive others, but eventually it comes out. We are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So beware of thinking you're something when you're nothing. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? You see that fellow over there that thinks he's something? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Folks that are puffed up and think they're something. There's more hope for a fool. More hope for the village idiot, if you will, than there is for him. In Romans 12 and verse 16, Paul writes, well, let me go up to verse 3. In Romans 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'm sorry, I can't help it. This pops in my head, you know, visions of politicians. I won't mention any names, but his initials are Donald J. Trump. People like that! Oh, they're the cat's meow! They do wondrous and glorious things! They're going to fix everything! They've already shown themselves to be liars. And against your God-given rights. I'm sorry, it popped in my head. I couldn't help it. Think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Oh, the other folks on the other side do it and everything too. I just get tired of hearing people that ought to know better that claim to be Christians or Southerners or conservatives and then embracing this kind of garbage. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Unless you think I'm going to go vote for the Democrats. I don't vote! I don't corrupt myself. Didn't mean to get off on this. I wasn't intended. But you know what you do when you vote? You give your consent. You give your consent. Doesn't matter who wins. Folks tell me, well, you got to vote. Yeah, no, you don't. Well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. You can't say anything. Yes, I can. If you vote, you can't say anything. Because when you voted, you participated in the system. And when you voted, you said, I'm going to agree to go along with the outcome. It's like, you know, when you play a football game and you lose by the rules, you lost. You can't say, well, no, I'm going to declare myself a winner now. It doesn't work that way. And when you vote, you participate, and you give your consent to the outcome. I don't give my consent. Folks say, well, you didn't vote for the lesser of two evils, so you elected the worst of the two evils. No, you did by voting. You say, what's this got to do anything? God's people shouldn't corrupt themselves. That's what it's got to do with things. Okay, let me get back. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. Think according to the truth. Take a long, hard look in the mirror and see what's really in there. Down in verse 16 of that same chapter, Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be of the same mind. condescend to men of low estate. You know, you can tell a whole lot about people by the way they treat men of, quote, low estate, or women of low estate, let's say. You know, how do they treat the waitress? You know, do they act like they're her master and lord? Now, how do people treat other people? How do they deal with other people? You think you're better than them? You know, because you're not pushing a broom? Somehow because you've got letters after your name, you're better? And you treat them that way? We're warned against those things. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote in chapter 8, verse 2, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." You know, we think we got all the knowledge. Professors in seminaries. You know, they were smarter than God. Some of my professors when I was at that liberal Southern Baptist seminary, an Old Testament professor, we'd study something in the Old Testament. He didn't like it. So he would say, "That's not the God that I worship." But did he not just now condemn himself with his own mouth? He said, "This God that's revealed in the Bible, that's not the God that I worship." You know what God he worships? As we used to say, it's a God that's between his ears. One that he's made up in his own little head. That's the God most people worship today. One that lives according to their standards and their ways, their thoughts. James writes in James 1, verse 22. James was the pastor at the church at Jerusalem. He was the half-brother of the Lord, son of Mary and Joseph. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The worst person to deceive is yourself. I mean, it's bad to deceive others. It's bad to lie, but the worst person to deceive, to lie to, is yourself. Because then you know nothing. And so, Paul tells us here in verse 3 that we should bear one another's burdens, we should seek to restore one another. And in verse 3, if any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. May the Lord help us to see who and what we truly are and to trust in him. We're not supposed to go around and mope about it. We're supposed to come before him, receive his grace, receive his mercy, and go forward with the fruit of the Spirit to minister to one another. But beware of the man that thinks of himself more than he ought. That thinks that he's something when he is nothing. May the Lord keep us from such things. We'll take our hymnals and turn to page number 49. "Jesus hath died for me." If you like, you can stand as we sing this out. Number 4, page 49. "Jesus hath died for me."
Still my plea, Jesus hath trust hath died. Lord, I confess to thee sadly my sin. Now tell I all to thee, all I have been. Purge thou my sin away, wash thou my soul this day. Take thou my sin away, Lord, make me clean. Faithful and just art thou, forgiving all. Loving and kind art thou when sorrows fall. Lord, let the cleansing blood, let the dear healing flood, blood of the Lamb of God, pass for my soul.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the privilege to meet as your people, Lord, for your preserved word that we can open and receive your word from on high. Father, help us to see ourselves as we are, not to think of ourselves as something when we're nothing. But Lord, help us to rely on thee and your sovereignty, on your grace, and to go forth in obedience. Father, help us not to think of ourselves better than others. All we have is by your grace. All that we have has been given to us, and we praise your name for it. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Go with them this week. Use them to your glory. Be with those who need healing. Be with those who need comfort. Be with our brother Reagan as he's away from us this week. Lord, thank you for your eternal love that was shed abroad upon your people before they were. Thank you, Lord, for the atonement of our Savior, for the promise that was given that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Father, in that and in that alone can we rest. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.